Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by Forever Family Foundation, on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name, the echo is haunting, the echo is always the same. I call your name, the echo is haunting, an echo can never be changed. So I call your name, your name.
All right, hello and good evening everybody, and welcome to the Medium Insights Show, part of the Signs of Life Radio, sponsored by the Forever Family Foundation. My name is Roman Karpyszka, and on the second Thursday of every month, I have the privilege and honor of interviewing an elite group of Forever Family Foundation certified mediums on a variety of topics. They answer these questions that, you know, a lot of us seek answers to, and it's all in an effort to learn more about their skills and abilities and, you know, about that whole realm and that whole science that we call mediumship. So tonight's guest is Amy Utzman. Amy is a Forever Family Foundation certified medium who makes her home in the Atlanta area of Georgia. In addition to providing evidential mediumistic readings, she also works with psychic children and their parents and teaches intuitive development and has medical intuitive abilities. She describes the process of working with children as cultivating their relationships with spirit guides, empowering them with the recognition of their natural abilities, and alleviating preconceived fears about the spirit world. She conducts both psychic and mediumistic readings and is careful to point out the differences between the two. She's known for her down-to-earth, natural reading style and emphasizes the ethics, safety, and health issues connected to this work. She conducts in-person and individual and group readings in her local area, but she's also giving sessions. She gives sessions over the phone and video conference all over the world. And so welcome to the show, Amy.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me, Roman.
Oh, you're so welcome. Oh, one thing I forgot to mention. Tonight's show is for information purposes only. So callers, you are more than welcome to call in and ask Amy some questions related to her mediumistic abilities or to the general topic that we're discussing, but we are not doing any readings over the phone, just to let you know. There are other Thursdays that are set up specifically for that, okay? So Amy, welcome to the show.
And Thank you.
So like your bio said, you reside and practice in the Atlanta area, and
right.
I'm hoping you're not affected by a good old hurricane Flo, which is, I think, trending southwards, but right now I think you're safe for now, correct?
Yeah, we're safe. We're actually not even concerned, so not even a hint of breeze, and so we'll be fine throughout the weekend, but thank you.
Okay,
lucky.
Good. Yeah, I know it is the season. I just got back from Bermuda 2 weeks ago. I went on a family vacation, and it was like, you know, we're already into the season. It could have went either way, but luckily we lucked out with really good weather.
Right.
So,
yeah,
so
we just hope everybody's okay in the Carolinas there throughout
absolutely.
The next few days.
Yeah, it was supposed to be a Category 4. It hit as a very strong Category 2, and it's building up strength. And, oh, geez, I just hope I hope everybody's okay and safe. That's the main thing.
Yeah.
So Amy, how long ago did you start doing, and at what age did you start developing your mediumistic skills?
Oh, what age? That's a good question. I'll have to do the math.
You don't have to reveal how old you are.
No, that's okay. Like many mediums, I was born a medium, but I didn't really realize what it was. I wasn't raised with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so about 12 years ago, it opened up after somebody made a statement to me just about how I shift when I'm around other people. And so all of this stuff started happening after that statement. And actually, I always joke that I thought I was going crazy. So I went to a therapist who
right.
said, you know, you want me to tell you you're gifted? And I said, with what? So But, you know, once that happened, my whole life prior made sense. And it, I was still working as a chef at the time, and this is, I've been working professionally as a medium for 11 years now.
Okay.
And so it was an interesting thing, because I felt this pull, on this path, and it, trust me, it was very unexpected. And so I always say that I've been very fortunate because, being a professional chef was my passion, but this is my calling. And so, you know, I feel extraordinarily lucky to have had both of those in my life. And, you know, people refer to it as a gift, and it is, but I actually feel that the biggest, you know, gift of it really is the ability to help so many people, not
right.
only here, but on the other side as well. So it's a nice thing to be able to do.
Fantastic. Now, do you still practice as a chef at all? Do you still keep that up?
Well, I did for my first 2 years.
Uh-huh.
I was still catering and such, but my schedule was getting too busy
right.
With readings to do both because, you know, in cooking you have to prep and such. And
right.
So it just kind of naturally led into a transition of doing this full time.
Well, you went from feeding the stomachs to feeding the soul. How does that sound?
That's right. Yep,
absolutely.
That sounds right.
So listen, tonight's topic is actually some of the challenges, deals with the challenges that mediums have. And I think it's a very fascinating topic because it's kind of broad. It can talk about, you know, a lot of different aspects, and we can cover it from different angles. We can cover it from your angle, the sitter's angle, the environmental angle, all the, you know, it's a crazy science that, you know, us people that are not mediums, I mean, I get it. I believe it. I know it's out there, but there's a lot of materialism in the world, and a lot of people just, you know, if they can't feel, see, touch it, they don't believe it exists. So I can see some of the problems arising from, you know, just the negative attitude towards this whole thing. But why don't you tell us, you know, just start describing some of your challenges that you've faced.
Well, I think one of the hardest challenges as mediums that we face is that, you know, mediums are naturally caring, giving people. You know, even when you find that most people, what they did before working full time as a medium, most people were in a helping profession of some kind. So we're just naturally built that way. And when it comes to mediumship, you know, you want to be able to read every person. You want to be able to connect with every single person that they want to connect with on the other side. And
right.
sometimes we just, you know, we don't have that kind of control. We'll connect with your family specifically, but we may not, for whatever reason, that day, that person on the other side may not come through. And so at least for me, I know that's one of the hardest things is, you know, I think I don't want to say pleasers, but we want to, you know, help people feel better about things, and when there's a letdown in a situation that, you know, somebody didn't come through that day for them, that they specifically wanted to hear, you know, it's kind of difficult to
right.
take that in. So for me, at least, I know that's one of my hardest things, because you just, you know, you might bring five people through in a reading, and then that one, they were like, I was just hoping to hear from, and...
Right.
So,
now, could that be caused also by the sitter wanting it so much, or the sitter being in a certain state of mind that it just doesn't open up the channels enough?
Absolutely. I had this, I was just at the grief retreats in Chester, Connecticut with the Forever Family Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it was a part of the topic that I was teaching. And so the number one thing I feel can be a block to mediumship, whether it's on the sitter side or the medium side, is expectation. You know, as a medium, we expect to be able to connect with every single person, you know, get as many details as possible so they know without a doubt that their loved ones are here. From the sitter side, sometimes if they do hold on to just that one person, they're inadvertently blocking the others that are coming through, and we have to, there's no control. I mean, there is some control in mediumship, but there's not full control. And so what I like to tell people is I know there's people you want to hear from, otherwise you wouldn't be here today, right?
Correct.
And so we have to allow the process to unfold, though. So the example I like to use is, let's just say you've invited a friend of yours and family to your house. So four people show up. But all you want to see is your friend. Are you going to send those other three people away at the door? Probably not.
You're exactly right. I mean, any normal person wouldn't. So it's, I can see your point with that.
And I don't feel sitters really, you know, I don't feel that they're trying to block. I really want to be clear on that. You know, it's just sometimes like, I know that sometimes when we're trying so hard, we actually inadvertently push things away,
right.
You know. So I think that was partly what you were getting at, if I'm correct.
Yeah, yeah. So you dealt with this at the Medium Retreat in Connecticut not too long ago, and I understand there's going to be another retreat that you're going to be with the Forever Family Foundation. I think it's in the Medium Convention in Fort Myers, right, in November?
Yes. Yep, okay. I'll be there.
Mm-hmm. That's great. That's great. Hopefully, hurricane season will be over and everybody's going to have a great time. I'm sure they will.
I'm sure it'll be fine. We're looking forward to it.
Yeah, absolutely. I know the Forever Family Foundation does an incredible job of hosting these things and putting it all together. There's a lot of logistics that go into it. And
yes, there is.
And it's just you know, it's like magic when it gets all together and everybody benefits. It's just a wonderful thing. I've been to a few of them myself. But, I can see your challenges, you know, the challenges that you described, you know, from the sitter's point of view. Are there also sometimes some kind of challenges because maybe you're not up to the task for some reason, health-wise or, you know, energy level-wise or anything like that?
Absolutely. And that would be probably my second challenge as far as, you know, if you were doing a list of challenges, you know, I don't think the list is very long, but we can only do so many in a day and week, you know, it's unfortunately, it's not working like a 40-hour job or in my case, you know, Chef World, 65 hours a week. It's just not possible. And then you end up at times with building up a wait list and, you know, having to sit with, you know, people are waiting months for a reading, you know, so but in order for you, and this is a good lesson really for everyone, in order for you to be in service of others, you have to be in service of yourself. So, you know, that was a tough lesson, you know, to learn because you can do more readings. Is it really healthy for you? And in general, the answer is no. You know, you can really drain yourself, and then where is the balance?
Right. Now, tell me about your specific type of mediumship. Are you clairaudient, clairsentient, clairvoyant? Do you, or a combination of all of them? Like, how do you receive your messages?
Right. So for me, it's hearing, seeing, and feeling. So the clairaudience, clairsentience, clairvoyance. Those are my primary three. Mm-hmm. Every now and then, I'll get a little, you know, claircognizance where something just drops in. But those are my primary ways.
Okay. And I guess just like in the physical, I guess most of your information probably comes from visual, and then clairaudient would be a close second kind of thing. Or is it, do those rules not apply when it comes to the next dimension?
Well, actually, everyone is different in that way, you know, of which way you connect first. So...
Okay.
For me, it's clairsentience first, then it will move up to clairvoyance, and then the clairaudience will come in. You know, now that's just the start of, you know, connecting with the other side, however many lovely individuals might be standing there waiting for you.
Right.
And then throughout, as you've made that, you know, contact and connection, then it goes back and forth between the senses.
Okay. Very interesting. Now, I know that for a piece of advice that I've heard over and over again for any mediums that are trying to develop their skills is, you know, once you start receiving these messages, you have to learn to trust them and not doubt them, because I think doubt plays a big role in failure.
Right.
It does not.
Absolutely. I tell students, you know, and people wanting to connect with their own loved ones, I always say that trust and doubt are going to be your biggest hurdles. You know, and every now and then, I even after 11 years of doing readings worldwide, I still, on occasion, will run into, oh, did I get that right? And you question something coming through, and then the other person, you know, the sitter says, oh, yeah, it makes perfect sense to me. And so what I do like to share with people is, you know, because the common question gets asked, how do I know if it's me? Or, you know, how do I know I'm getting something or I'm making it up?
Yeah, that's a big question.
It's a very big question. And so when you look at, I will say to them, when you're using your imagination, there's steps involved as you're building that picture, that image, that thought. When it's intuition, it's just, bam, it's there.
It pops.
You don't
right
have
in.
Time to think. Right.
Right. Okay, very interesting. So you know what, Amy, we're going to go for a quick break.
Okay.
But I neglected to mention the phone number, the call-in number for anybody that's interested to call in. It's 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. So we are welcoming any callers that have questions about our topic tonight, or general mediumship topics. I'm sure Amy would be very, very glad to answer them. But in the meantime, we'll take a little commercial break from our sponsors, and we will be back in a few minutes.
The Camlack Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the Camlack Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlack.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love Knows No Death, a groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method, can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Perazzetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook can be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the ForeverFamilyFoundation.org grief and loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love knows no death. Truer words have never been spoken.
Imagine seeing spirits are spontaneously speaking indigenous Brazilian rainforest languages. Janet Mayer, a psychic medium, does just that. In her new book, Spirits, They Are Present, she opens the door to her private life in order to share her compelling, fearful, and at times humorous journey, providing evidence that when we die, we simply make a transition to another life. Spirits, They Are Present, available now at www.janetmayer.net, Amazon, and other online booksellers. Order your copy today.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
Am I Psychic is a mobile app designed using statistics, science, and parapsychological protocols to test psychic ability using fun games. Each game has two unique modes. In psychokinesis mode, influence the game using mind over matter ability. In extrasensory perception mode, guess which random option will be chosen. Am I Psychic can store your results in an anonymous database used to eventually publish in academic journals. Available on the App Store and Google Play. Go to ampsychicapp.com and be a part of proving psychic phenomena to the world. Some profits will be donated to the Ryan Research Center.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Roman Karpyshka, and I have the wonderful Amy Utzman here with me, and we're discussing the topic, which is some of the challenges with mediumship. And we have a caller. I believe her name is Laura. We have a caller, so let's bring the caller on. Welcome to the show, Laura.
Hi, thanks.
How are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you guys?
Very good.
Good,
thank you.
Hi, Laura.
Hi.
Good. So you have a question?
I had a question about, what do you think of Ouija boards?
That's an interesting question. So Ouija boards, so there's two types of boards. There's a Ouija board and then there's a spirit board. So they are similar. Oftentimes you'll find in the medium world people will use a spirit board in place of a Ouija board. My personal feeling is there can be positives and negatives to every tool, and this is just a way in. It's almost creating like a form of physical mediumship when you use a board like that, because Laura, are you familiar with table tipping?
Not really. I've just heard of it.
Okay, so what the idea behind, like, you know, a spirit board or a Ouija board and table tipping is kind of giving a physical manifestation or expression from the spirit world onto a physical object. And so when you're putting energy and you're setting the intention behind bringing connection to the spirit world, and then they move and spell letters out, right? You're giving them a physical tool to use through you.
Right.
So I feel, my personal feeling on many things, if, you know, people often ask me, am I afraid about anything, opening anything up bad? And the answer is no. You know, I live a very positive life, and so I don't worry about those things. You know, that's my feeling, is if the intention is positive, the intention is good, then, you know, we don't have to worry too much about, you know, dangerous, scary things happening, if you will.
Right. So that would hold true also for the general public, like, for instance, for me, for somebody who wanted to use it. If your intention is good, then it shouldn't be something dangerous to worry about.
I would, but I would say with you, and may I go psychic with you for just very briefly?
Yes, you may.
Okay, thank you. So the one thing I know about you is that letters and words matter. And so I feel like that would be partly why you were drawn to a board like this, because you need the tangible to work with your hands. So automatic writing, for example, would work with you. And I only bring through a little bit of caution because unless you're well-versed in managing your boundaries or there's others around you, you know, to help you assist with those boundaries, then you can go too far on a path without recognizing it. And there are spirits that like to play games.
Yes, and I understand that, and I'm glad you said that because that's exactly how I felt.
Automatic writing, you know, or even you can set up just even on your own sheet, you know, some letters to help you spell them out. you know, a good psychic tool in to help you make that connection to the other side also was like with oracle cards or pendulums. Those are, you know, a good way to start. Photographs might work for you. I think, you know, for you, psychometry would be a really good way, because that's what I keep picking up with you, is you need a tangible way to kind of move your mind out of your own way. Does that make sense?
Thank you so much. Yes.
You're
so
welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Fantastic. Laura, thank you for your question. Thank you very much.
Oh, sure. This is great. Thank you, guys.
All right. Take care.
Mm-hmm.
I like your advice about the automatic writing. I've read many books where they suggest the, you know, just do the automatic writing. Have a conversation with yourself. Have a conversation with your spirit, and just open up. And it's one of those things where practice makes perfect. The more that you do it, the more you develop a confidence that what you're doing is actually the real thing. You know? And
right.
You start blocking out those what ifs, and is it just my consciousness, or is it, you know, like you were describing earlier, when an idea is not set up, it just pops right into your head. It's most likely spirit. Whereas if it's a thought, it has to be built up, and there are steps towards it. So it's not as spontaneous, basically, right?
Absolutely, and we also have to keep in mind, Roman, too, is, and this is, you know, everyone listening, is our loved ones want to connect with us. You know, we're not bothering them. They want to connect. And so the best way that you work within yourself, whether it's visual or audio or in the case of Laura who called in, you know, physical pen and paper, you know, use that way in. You know, use music if you're audio. If you're visual, you know, put some photos and really say, I want to connect with you, and set your intention on the photo. You know, there's so many different ways to do it, and there's no real right or wrong. It's what works to bridge the gap between you guys, you know?
Fantastic. That's some great advice. And I guess, you know, that leads us into some of the, you know, some of the ways that you would advise. I mean, this is good advice for somebody that's kind of like, you know, physical kind of thing. But what other ways would you recommend for sitters to develop, you know, to become better sitters, for example?
Oh, that's a great question. I like how you posed that. So, you know, one of our biggest challenges with this is, you know, we want to hear from our loved ones so badly.
Yes.
And you know, after a significant loss, regardless of the circumstance, you know, some people were closer to than others, some losses we take harder than others.
Mm-hmm.
And in that state, the very first thing that happens is we put a boundary up. And it's a funny place to be, because we inadvertently cocoon or close ourselves off, because if we take one more hurt, it's too much. At the same time, we so badly want to hear from them, but we can't get over that wall that we've put up. You know, we
grief.
Do it for safety.
You're talking
reasons.
About grief, right? The
grief, yes.
Right.
In that space. And so, you know, sometimes we can get spirit communication through there, and other times it's a challenge. And so, you know, what I have said to people is set aside an appointment. You know, set aside an ideal time for you. So if it's a 7 p.m. on Thursday, I'll have time to be quiet. And I would love it if you would come and visit me then. And what you're doing is kind of putting aside the distractions of life to make this time yours. And by setting this time to be yours, you're connecting to yourself. And then that allows for a more openness for them to connect with you.
That's an interesting point, because when you're setting aside the time, there is no time in the spirit world. You're setting that time really for you. You're making yourself a promise that I'm going to be open at such and such a time, and that will open up the boundaries, correct?
Yes, because everything was really about intention, you know, and
right.
Not to say that we won't get signs and such throughout, but, you know, we live in a place of distraction. You know, we've got work, we've got emails, we've got kids, we've got dinner, you know, there's always bills to pay. I mean, there's always something. And so by giving yourself that space and time set aside, it's as though, you know, the distractions of the physical world can wait. I'm so here for you, and I'd love it if you'd visit. And it's kind of like a guided meditation. The more you do it, the more comfortable and used to you get, you know, getting into that space. And then later on, you can translate it to at any time. It's how mediums work. We just ignite. We just connect anytime. Boom. You know? And
very
so
cool.
You're teaching yourself that, you know, over practice that, oh, I too can reach out, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I think I got to set aside some time for myself personally as well. You know, it just, like you said, life just really gets in the way, and you get so caught up in everything, the day-to-day, you know, like you said, job, emails, work, politics, just everything. It's just very, very overwhelming. But I think that, you know, one of the reasons it's a challenge. Life is a challenge. You know, we incarnated to face these challenges and to learn some very, very valuable lessons the hard way, which is why we're here. I'm pretty convinced of that, because otherwise it doesn't make sense, some of the things that happen. There's no other way to explain it.
Right.
Absolutely. So you were talking a little bit about mediumship and psychometry and the physical mediumship. Have you dealt in any of that? Do you actually go to that extent or that avenue, I should say?
Well, so the one thing to note is that what I was suggesting with Laura, these were psychic tools,
right?
So these are psychic ways in, and it's a good way to start for people who are beginning. Do I use these tools myself? No, not really. I did a little bit in the beginning, but for me, I find it actually distracts me. And so that piece, you know, psychometry and such, it's like I said, it's a good psychic tool to kind of focus the mind to open up to mediumship.
Okay.
Physical mediumship, you know, I did a little bit of table tipping, frankly, in Lilydale a couple times.
Okay.
It was fun. We had that table. We broke the legs on one table. I've never seen anything like it, but that table was just moving in directions that it shouldn't have been. So, you know, it was kind of fun. Is that something I generally do? No. I'm readily say I'm not a physical medium.
Right.
I'm just not built that way. But
no,
I do
and
have the ability for a full trance. Yeah.
There's not very many physical mediums that exist in the world.
No.
I think there's, you can count them on two hands, maybe. I know of perhaps three in the world. There's one in England and one from Australia, and there's a German guy, Kai Mwegi. Mm-hmm. I just finished, it's funny because the topic's kind of interesting to me because I just finished reading a book by Leslie Keene called Surviving Death, where she's an investigative journalist that just really, really took it to the extreme in terms of her research and everything like that. And some of the stories that she relates about her physical mediumship experiences and how, you know, through ectoplasm things got materialized, I mean, it just blew my mind. It just,
right.
Wow.
It is. It's pretty extraordinary.
Very, very fascinating.
It's
a whole different, it's a big, you know, thing that we understand nothing about it. And unfortunately, you know, back in the 1800s, when they didn't have TV and shows and all of that kind of stuff, people got together and they had focus groups where they did practice mediumships.
Right.
And that was a big source of entertainment for them. So it was readily available and it was commonly practiced. And today, with all the distractions that we have, it's very, very rare to get people to sit for 5 minutes rather than, you know, 5 hours alone, you know? So it's an extremely rare phenomena, but it's still, it's quite heartening to know that it's still around in some form, which is great.
Yes. No, it's very interesting. I, you know, I'm very fascinated by physical mediumship as well. I've read a lot of books on it, and
like that, one of the greats was that D.D. Hume, H-O-M-E, but spelled, pronounced Hume, like the stuff
Hume.
That he used to do with the, you know, playing accordions through Faraday cages and all that kind of stuff. It's very, very fascinating. Incredible.
Yeah.
And, I mean, this stuff has been documented by scholars that, you know, they put their whole reputations on the line in order to document this. And, you know, and they stood by what they said, you know. But, you know, you have, I guess, one of the big challenges today also from a social point of view, facing mediums is just, you know, the materialistic scientific world and the non-acceptance of this whole thing. A lot of people call it woo-woo. A lot of people say, you know, like the great Randy, I'm sure you've heard of him. And,
yeah,
you know, there's
of
a
course.
Bunch of people that just say it's all nonsense. And, you know, unfortunately, they're the ones that get the grants, and that's where the money is. And, you know, I mean, science is definitely serves its purpose. There is, you know, some of the breakthroughs in medication and all we have is because of science and replication and study of the physical and stuff like that, but there's just so much more to it than that, and we're, you know, I think that's one of the big challenges is the acceptance of this whole thing. But at the same time, I think with the advent of the internet and social media and people talking about it, I think it's gaining a lot of traction as well.
Well, I agree, and then there's a lot more TV shows. They're not always, you know, accurate portrayals, but it still is touching people in a way that they wouldn't have been touched before. So, you know, to me, they serve a great purpose. You know,
right.
The TV show.
Actually, what's her name? Teresa Caputo with the Long Island Medium.
I
was actually on that show one of the seasons. I think it was season 6, last episode, where they got a bunch of parents who'd lost children on her show, and we all met in her living room, and she did readings, and that she was pretty good, pretty accurate, actually, you know. And you know, it was sponsored by the Forever Family Foundation, and they're the ones that certify the mediums. I mean, they would not, you know. Bob and Fran are really amazing people, and they, you know,
yes,
they're
they
the last people that would be in cahoots with any of the mediums, so I trust them with my life.
Right.
Basically. So,
yeah.
It was pretty impressive. I've had some very impressive medium readings in the past, and I've had some pretty poor ones. You know, I've done quite a bit, and it's always fascinating, and it's always, you know, the more you get, the more you want, pretty much. It's almost like a, you know, it's almost like a drug, you know? It's just very fascinating. You always do want to hear from your loved ones, you know? You can
of
never
course.
Hear enough of them, you know?
Because right.
you miss them. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So,
mediums, we do, too. A lot of people don't think, you know, they're like, well, you can talk to them anytime. I'm like, actually, no. My grandmother was MIA for 2.5 months. I don't know what she was doing on the other side, but, you know, it's like, where are you? So we want visits from them, and yes, maybe it's a little bit stronger at times, but, you know, just like your own loved ones, sometimes they're busy doing things, and, you know, we all miss them. We all miss them here, and the great part is that we'll be reunited with them when it's our time to go, too. So that's a nice thing to know about.
Yeah, absolutely. Just the knowing is a big reassurance, absolutely.
Absolutely.
So while we were on break, you and I were discussing just a little fact that I wanted to clear up, that you don't exactly work with little children. You actually help little children take control of their abilities, and so they can develop it later on should they choose. And so it doesn't, you know, you kind of steer away from so it doesn't scare them. Correct?
Yeah. When you know. When parents bring, you know, psychic kids or medium kids, you know, there seems to be, a set of guidelines that they all have. And partly they're not sleeping at night, they're afraid, you know, they don't like to be in rooms alone and such. And so, but they're young. You know, I've worked with them as young as 5. You know, usually between, I would say, you know, 7 and 13 is about the age frame they generally come to me. And in that space, I mean, I've seen some really extraordinary kids. But first off, it's a lot for them to handle so young, right?
Right.
And so, and they have to go through life. We all have to go through life. And so the way I work with them is first let's try to take the fear away of it. You know, we teach kids to be afraid of strangers, and so when a spirit on the other side comes through that they don't recognize, they're afraid. So that's fair, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just try to work with them and teach them, you know, empower them that, you know, you've got control. If you don't want somebody there, then ask them to leave.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but also we're not here to – it's not a game. We're not here to play with it, and we need to get through school I'm sorry about that, but we've got to get through school. Mm-hmm. And so let's close it down. And then I give them tools to help them sleep. You know, sound machines and such work really well with them. And okay. It's more about them gaining control. So then when they become an adult, should they decide to go on that path, it'll be right there. It's not going to go anywhere. You
right.
know, but for now, in a comfortable way, let's get through school, you know.
Right. So, you know what? I'm glad that we cleared that up, because when I read your bio, I don't think it was, maybe I misread it or whatever, but I think what you're doing is a lot, it's a very noble thing, you know, to empower the kids and teach them not to be afraid of it, but at the same time, having them, you know, focus on other things that they need to focus on because they're kids.
Yeah, we're in the physical world. We have to live here, and, you know, it's a lot to put on them because they run into some heavy things just like we do in readings. And so let's not scare them half to death, and let's let them have a good time. And should they decide later, sure.
Yeah, absolutely. That's great. So we're going to take another little break from our sponsors.
Okay.
And, again, if anybody wants to call in, you still have another chance to call in, 888-627-6008. To speak with the wonderful Amy Utzman. We'll be right back. Thank you.
The CAMLAC Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the CAMLAC Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlac.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program.
Hello, my name is Piero Calvi Parisetti, MD. I invite you to discover my video course on Evidence for Life After Life, a professional counseling resource for the bereaved and the dying.
Transform the fear of death. Heal the pain of a loss by learning about life after life.
For more information and a free preview, visit www.drparisetti.com. That's drparisetti in one word, .com.
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love Knows No Death, a groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method, can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Parisetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook can be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the ForeverFamilyFoundation.org grief and loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love knows no death. Truer words have never been spoken.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation.
Hello, and welcome back from the break, everybody. Speaking with Roman Karpyshka, and I've got the wonderful Amy Utzman, medium extraordinaire, here on the line with me, and we're talking about the the different challenges that mediums face, and we're talking about how to become a really good sitter and some of the things to consider. I mean, in this whole incredible science of mediumship. So, Amy, just let me know. First of all, let me know if I'm talking too much.
No, you're fine.
Okay, but also I want to know I want to pick your brain some more about what sitters can expect from a good medium, and what differentiates a good medium from one that needs more development. You know, like, just so people know that when they do go see a medium, whether it's you or somebody else, that that they're getting their expectations are being met, put it that way.
Sure, that's a great question, and development is the word I would use also.
Mm-hmm.
Because mediumship develops and unfolds over time.
Okay.
I think one thing that couple things that differentiate a highly developed medium from somebody who's earlier on in the stages is the depth of information that comes through, but
okay.
Also how it's presented, because when you're starting earlier on in your mediumship, things drop in from all over, and sometimes you may not be able to identify who's the person that you're connecting with on the other side, you know? And so in a solid reading, it should be one person from the other side speaking at a time. You know, you might have the occasion family where you have multiple speaking at once, but that should be clearly identified. Oh, now your mother's saying this, now your aunt is saying this. They must have hung out and always chatted like this, you know?
Or dropped in
personality,
too, right?
Right, because personalities don't change on the other side. So so if they were always grouping and chatting as a group, they may do that in a reading. But that's not as common as, your mother is coming through, she's telling me that she's like this. There should be plenty of identifying factors that you know without a doubt that is your loved one. And then what else are they wanting to tell us about? You know, what are they involved with now? How do they visit? What have they seen since they've been gone? You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's a depth of information, almost like a story of the person, if you will.
Right, right, right. I also heard that stuff that is really evidential is stuff that the sitter might not even know of, but finds out that it's true later.
Mm-hmm.
Because then the medium cannot be accused of using ESP or reading the mind of the sitter, because the sitter was not aware of that piece of information.
Right. Those are some of my favorites that, you know, people have to go and research on a family tree or
mm-hmm.
something. Just yesterday, I did a reading for this woman, and her friend was coming through, and I said there's these plaques on the wall. You know, I keep seeing these, they're like plaques, and I was counting them in my mind's eye, counted them out,
And I said, the one is tilted. It's just a little bit tilted. And she sent me a picture of it, you know, after the reading. Now, I wouldn't know, how would I know that? I'm not in her house. She was in Maine somewhere, you know. And so it's those kinds of tidbits, you know, that are really tangible that you can't know. I didn't know they did woodworking. Like,
right, yeah.
You know, that wasn't posted anywhere as far as I know. I mean, you know, and I would like to diminish the myth a little bit that mediums are researching everything. Because frankly, you know, true, authentic, genuine mediums, we don't have that kind of time to do that, number one. And truly, we don't want to. You know, I know most of the mediums I know, we all cut people off. Wait, don't tell me anything. You're telling me too much.
Right.
You know.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm sure there's some dishonest people out there that, you know, they hang out the table.
Every field.
And they, yeah, it's in every field. It's in every practice. And once you give them your name, they can Google you and find out. I mean, with me, it wouldn't be too hard either. But, you know, and then that's why, you know, one of the best readings that I've ever had was with a local person. Her name is Grace or Georgia O'Connor, incredible medium. When I called her, it was from a conference room from the company I worked for. I worked at GE, where there's like 5,000 employees, and I called from a conference room. So it wasn't my desk phone. It was from a conference room. I gave a fake name. I told her I'd pay her in cash. And she got my son's name right out of thin air, like just boom, your son is here to see you. And she named his name. And then she also described my two grandmothers that were waiting there to a T. It was incredible. You know, like how would she know that? It's impossible. So, I mean, it's not impossible. It's possible, and it's done through, you know, through spirit communication. Absolutely.
Right. And it's the personality factor that I feel sometimes is, you know, really touching.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you say that, you know, sometimes, you know, they're giving you their phrases. So when you say things exactly the way they said it, or you change your posture and the way they sat and stuff like that, I mean, there's no way of knowing that, but it just brings such a sweet little added piece.
Oh,
you know?
Absolutely. I'm Ukrainian, Ukrainian-American, and I'm very fluent in Ukrainian. And this medium said a few Ukrainian words. How would she know?
Wow.
I don't even speak Ukrainian, you know? So I was like, wow, pretty impressive. So,
yeah,
it's amazing the what can come through and what, you know.
Right.
It's a skill set, and like you said, there's levels of development. I've been to mediums where bring a picture of your loved one so I can see what he looks like, and then I can get messages. To me, that's like, nah, I don't think so, you know.
Right. That's a psychic way in, you know.
Oh, yeah. So tell me, really quick, you differentiate between the psychicism and mediumship.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So let's dive into that a little bit in a small time.
Sure. So there's a very distinguished difference between medium and psychic, and it often gets blurred, you know, this psychics. So basically, I think most people know that all mediums are psychic and not all psychics are mediums. But the difference, the way I like to describe the difference, as a medium, it will feel different to you. And that comes with development as well, knowing where the information is coming from. So mediumistically, you're connecting with people's loved ones on the other side. Also, you can connect with guides as well. But that would be the truest form of mediumship. With psychic, you know, psychically, you can tune into somebody's, you know, auric field or energy body. You can tune into them, you know, their personality here, you know, and describe things that are going on. So I always say psychic is really about life issues, you know, and let's look at where the blocks are and how can we overcome those blocks. So it's in the psychic part that people are often, you know, wanting to speak about relationship and, you know, jobs and such. And medical intuitive, a huge part of the reading is a psychic timeline, tracking. You know, let's look at your pattern in life and how that's affecting your health. So so that's the difference between the two.
Okay. Wow. It's quite a distinction.
And, yes.
Absolutely. So, you know, believe it or not, our time is coming to a close. So right before we leave off, tell our readers about, our listeners about you, Amy. Where can they get in touch with you, and tell us about your website and what you do, that kind of thing.
Sure. So, first off, thank you for having me.
Oh,
and
you're so welcome.
Thank you, everyone, for supporting Forever Family Foundation. It's a great organization.
Sure is.
So my website is amyutzman.com. You can find it, I'm one of the certified mediums under Forever Family, so you can find it there under the mediums list to make it easy. I offer medium, psychic, and medical intuitive readings. They're done worldwide. The phone and video work the same, and I do that through a conference line so I can record it for you. So I send the audio link after. That's
okay.
Not an extra charge or anything. And when people are here in person, I'm in Roswell, so Georgia, just 15 minutes outside of Atlanta on the north side. And so at my office, I encourage people to record their readings on their phone because there's so much information that comes through that we'll miss things, or like you said earlier, we'll have to look them up,
right.
So I really heavily encourage readings. Most of us have a wait list, and I know sometimes people want something faster, but it's interesting how things do work out, with timing-wise. And so I always encourage people to wait for a medium that they feel in alignment with, than rushing to get another reading and with another medium and push the envelope. If you try to push too hard, you may not get what you'd like. I do teach psychics and mediums as well. Now, I think of mediumship as developing through levels 1, 2, and 3, and later down the road will be a level 4. So I like to take the beginner, intermediate, advanced out of it because I do see it as levels.
Okay.
And so for me, level 2, level 3 is more the area I do teach. But I will be offering, coming up very soon, for lucky October, but maybe November, free webinars for people who are not psychics and mediums but have a lot of questions about it. So those will be free because I really believe in empowering people and teaching you how to just do that yourself, and giving you access, to a medium. So,
fantastic. Amy, thank you so much. We are completely out of time, but we enjoyed having you as a guest. And I'm sure our paths will cross. And we, again, from the bottom of my heart and from everybody, all our listeners, I want to thank you for your great insight. And,
thank you so much. Have a great evening, everyone, and safe to the Carolinas.
Thank you very much. And good night, everybody. We'll talk to you soon.